Well, you know what? Sometimes I think we need reminders in our lives, in our daily lives, of how good we really have it. How good we really have it. We can get pulled into endlessly comparing ourselves to others and looking at them and saying, well, they've achieved more than me, or they've done more than me. I think more so even today in our day of technology with social media. You can watch Instagram or look at Facebook and look at what other people around the world or friends far and wide are doing. And you think, well, I haven't done that. Well, how come they got to do that and I didn't get to that? Or they've been there, I haven't been there. I know myself, a couple of years ago, I had to take a break from that because I was constantly looking at going, how come they got to go do that? I didn't get to go do that. Well, they got to be there and I didn't get to be there, right? We need to take a step back and actually look at how good we have it. Now, I don't want to brush aside the injustices or struggles that we have or have endured in our lives. Yet in this broken and sinful world that we live in, there are many, many moments of goodness that are always present with us. Sometimes we simply forget and we lose focus on the ways in which the goodness of God constantly shows up in our lives. It's too easy to sink into dwelling upon what I don't have, what I haven't achieved. It's too easy to dwell upon all that is wrong in our lives and all that's wrong in our world. And it becomes too easy for the goodness of God to actually get lost in those shadows. And this is where we need to step back. We need to say, no, I want to celebrate the goodness of God that is always around me. And this morning, we're continuing in our Psalms series that we're doing this summer, and I'd like to look at Psalm 103 with you. And so if you have your Bibles, please take them out at this time and turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. If you don't have a Bible, we have some there in the seats there in front of you, and it's page 502. Page 502. And I ask that you keep your Bibles open this morning with me. We're going to go through the whole Psalm, Psalm 103. As you're turning there, you may recognize, or as you start to look at this psalm, you'll think, hey, wait a minute, this is a familiar one. For many believers, this is a familiar psalm. It's often quoted by many believers. Over the years, this psalm has actually been put to music a number of times. We just sung a song that actually walked us through this psalm, and we're going to sing another one at the end of the service today. Let's come to God in prayer before we get into this passage. God, thank you for this morning and this opportunity to be in your word, God. As we walk through your scripture, this passage today, Lord, challenge us, teach us, God, encourage us, I pray. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read it together. We can study it together. We can be encouraged, challenged by it together as a congregation and individually. Bless our time, Lord, in your name. Amen. Now, just before we get into it, Psalm 103 here, David really starts and ends the psalm by having a conversation with himself. He's telling his soul to bless, to praise the Lord. David invites us into this kind of conversation he's having, contemplating who God is. Let's look at the first two verses. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, to start off, let's recognize David. David understands that God is infinitely greater than man. And man could never really give or grant a blessing to God. David means here, what he's meaning here is the sense that he's blessing and honoring God. And when it comes to God's creation, we should praise him, give him thanks for his provision, his love, his blessing. Now, David's first words here, when we read them, seem a little odd. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David's telling himself, praise the Lord. But notice how he tells himself to praise the Lord. He tells himself to praise the Lord with his soul. Even more so, he says, all that is within him, to bless the Lord. David's call emphasizes an important aspect of worship. Worshiping with our soul, with every ounce of our being, heart, mind, soul, strength. David's telling himself, praise God with his everything, with his whole being, his intellect, his emotions, his heart, you name it. He's to praise God with it. worshiping with our soul, with every ounce of our being. David's calling on himself to praise the Lord. And it was as if David was looking at his life and saying, you know what? I don't praise God enough for his goodness. I need to praise more with my whole being. And he says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. David understands his and our worship needs to be not superficial. It's to be offered as completely as possible to God. And David calls for everything within him to give honor and praise to God. In these two verses, three times, David intentionally chooses praise. He demonstrates the need to choose to remember God's goodness. David sets the stage for us to do that as well. In verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. And we fail at worshiping from our souls if we forget how great the Lord is and all of what God has done for us. And so for this reason, David instructs himself and you and I not to forget God's goodness. David uses repetition here, emphasis, meaning, hey, pay attention. Pay attention. Look at what God is doing. Then he follows in the coming verses, giving us examples of God's goodness here. Let's read on. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David explains some of the benefits here of God's goodness, how it looked personally in his own life. The Lord forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfies, renews. It is God who does these things. And David celebrates God's goodness. He never forgets these things. He mentions what is universal for all believers, all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, satisfaction, renewal, all come from God. Who can celebrate these? We can celebrate these as God's blessings in our lives for those who have put our faith in him. These come from God. One of the greatest benefits we see is mentioned first in verse 3. It's the forgiveness of our sins, of our wrongs. And when the magnitude of our sin and the righteousness of God are understood, this forgiveness is mind-blowing. And it is a reason for us to praise and honor God. Through Jesus, the forgiveness of God covers all of our sins, all of our wrong, in our past, in our present, and in our future. And David speaks of God's healing then. And I truly believe that God can heal all of our ailments and sickness. But we do live in a broken world. We experience sickness and pain, and it can feel like healing will not come. Yet we worship a God who took our pain so that one day we can be made whole. And God promises ultimate healing for all of his people in the age to come. That is our future as believers. We look forward to that day in glory. But even now, all health that we experience and healing that we do experience now in this life, we need to recognize is because of God. He is the healer of the body as well as the soul. And therefore, such health as we've been given is a gift from God, and when he should be praised for it. God also redeems us, the passage says. And this is a theological word which means God buys back. He claims us as his own. When we think of how Jesus saved us, to think of how our names are written in the book of life, and we as believers are going to see Jesus, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. He purchased and redeemed us. And not only that, but God blesses us with his steadfast love. David describes the steadfast love of the Lord throughout this psalm. He uses it four times in the psalm. Look at verse 4. He says, his steadfast love crowns us. His steadfast love is abounding in verse 8. It's as high as the heavens in verse 11. It lasts forever in verse 17. All the Lord's characteristics and kind deeds throughout the psalm flow from his infinite faithful love for those who love and obey him. In verse 5 here, David mentions God satisfying his people with good, so much so that they are renewed in their energy. It gives them freedom like that of an eagle. These are the benefits that caused David here to praise God. And if we are believers, we have chosen to follow Jesus, this should cause us, you and I, to praise God. God's greatness extends beyond these things. Through God's blessings, we are crowned with his great love and mercy. And so as we reflect on these verses, what should we remember? Well, these benefits are in Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for those who put their trust in him to be forgiven, to be healed, to be redeemed, to be completely loved, to experience new mercies every day, to find satisfaction in him and only him, because nothing else that we can put our trust in will do this. So what would our worship look like if we spent more time choosing to remember all of God's goodness in our lives? Now, we naturally do this with good experiences in our lives. For example, if you're a sports fan, anytime your team wins a championship, you're tempted to go out and buy a little memorabilia to remember that winning moment. Okay? Maybe if you go on vacation, you buy something while you're on way on vacation to remember the good time you had or wherever you went. I will admit, this summer on our family vacation, I bought a coaster for my office desk that reminds me of where we did and the fun time we had as a family. But we do that. Or if there's good moments in our lives with family or friends, what do? We take pictures, right? And what do we do sometimes with those pictures? We pay to blow them up and put them on our walls at home so we can remember those good moments, those fun times. How much more should we be focused on remembering the goodness of God? Let's keep reading. Look at verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. David here is reflecting on the covenant loyalty that God maintains with all his people. He recalls God's covenant with Moses. And after a word of praise for the Lord's righteousness, David speaks of how God revealed himself to Moses and the people as a compassionate and gracious God, who is therefore slow to anger, abounds in covenant loyalty. David again is pointing to the faithfulness, the goodness of God, who worked in the nation of Israel for all those years past, and he continues to do so today in our lives still. God's promises have been true for years, and they will continue in the years to come. They are unchanging. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Now, David continues here to share the goodness of God beyond his own life. He speaks of the ways that God has been good to his people everywhere throughout history. David shares how he has experienced God's forgiveness and goodness, how all of God's people have experienced his forgiveness and goodness. He speaks specifically of God's character in regards to his mercy and graciousness, how he is patient with his people in the face of sin and wrongs. And he speaks of God's character boldly here. He is patient with his people. Now, some would say that verse 8 has some of the most beautiful words in all of the Old Testament. We learn that God is not only merciful, but he is gracious. He's not only gracious, but he is slow to anger, meaning he is patient with us. He's not only patient, but he is abounding in steadfast love. And steadfast love we need to understand it as loving kindness. But also it contains the idea of faithfulness and loyalty. God's mercy is described for us in how his love is immeasurably high, his forgiveness is infinitely wide, his compassion is personal. Now talk about how amazing the blessing and gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ is for us. But David here is sharing all this from his point of view before Jesus, the promised Messiah, had even come. David shares how he has seen God work in his own life and in his people's lives. And yet we know Jesus came. The promised Savior has come. God's own Son who came, lived the perfect life that we could not live, died a death that we all deserve to die because of our sin. And yet he rose again and lives. He beat sin and death. And we have the opportunity to place our faith in him. All the punishment of our sin was poured out on his Son, Jesus. And now all that's left for us is grace and forgiveness if we choose to follow him. Think about what David is saying here. How high is the heavens from the earth? We can't comprehend that. That's how much he loves us because of Jesus. How far is the east from the west? Well, it's a lot better than saying north from the south. Because if you travel north on the globe, you begin to travel south as soon as you go past that North Pole. But think about traveling east. You will continue east forever. Because every time you go east, there's more east to go. That's how far God has removed our sins from us because of Jesus. David reminds himself and desires for us to see how God, in his mercy, forgives our sins. For God is patient. He does not deal with us according to sin, all because of his great love. He completely separates our sin from us by forgiving us. And if this does not stir in your hearts the feeling of thankfulness and praise, then we don't have a right view of our sin. This is amazing grace, Trentside. This is amazing grace. One commentator I read this week in reflecting on the verses said this. He says, "Have you forgotten the goodness of the Lord in your life? Maybe you're in the darkest season that you have ever been in. You feel abandoned. You feel forgotten. You feel left out. You're afraid of what tomorrow will bring, because today feels like hell on earth. Well, your circumstances may not change. Tomorrow may be harder than today. But in the midst of that, maybe you need to pause and be reminded of his faithfulness towards you through Jesus. Reflect on how little you deserve grace, but he gave it to you anyways. Maybe you need to sit down and reflect on your life and see how God moved in such a way to draw you to himself and praise God for it." Let's keep reading. Look at verse 14. "For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments." Here in these verses, David writes of how our life is temporary. And yet God has compassion on us. He knows how frail humanity is. We're made of insignificant dust, and our lives are like the brief grass and flowers that are here one day and gone the next. Yet from everlasting to everlasting, God's covenant love is with those who follow and obey him. This is another demonstration of how our hope is not in fragile things. Our hope is in the eternal God. And this is amazing love. This is the amazing love of God. And it may seem difficult to accept. It may be due to because we have feelings of unworthiness. Or we may just need to remind ourselves, like David did, of how fragile and incapable we really are. And we should remember that despite this, God loves us. He loves us. For we are made in his image. And even though on this earth we live a brief and apparently insignificant existence, God's love for those who love and obey him is vast and it is eternal. And we can think of a loving father here on this earth who deals with his tired and weak children. He doesn't demand more of them than they can perform. But with care, he takes into account their weakness. He comforts them. He measures his expectations according to his wisdom and compassion. Well, that's what God does with us. And David, as soon as he reminds himself of his frailty, it forces him to bring his attention to the love that God has for him that lasts for eternity. Now, what does this mean for you and I? Well, it means that because of Jesus, God will not remove his love from our lives. In our trials, in our weaknesses, we get the opportunity to lean on him in trust and faith. We need to have a faith that relies on God and truly trusts God. You may say, well, how does that look? Well, in the midst of your trials or your struggles or a hard time in your life, when God says in the scripture to you, he will never leave you nor forsake you, do you actually trust God in that? Do you trust God in that? When God says he will not put more on you than you can bear, do you trust God in that? When God says he will provide a way of escape when you are tempted, do you trust God in that? Do you seek the opportunity of deliverance that he's giving you? When God tells you to put God first in your tithes and your offerings and your giving to his kingdom work, do you trust God? Do you give? Do you give of your earnings first to God and trust that God will provide all of your needs? And when God tells you to wait during a time of aloneness and that God will provide a Christian mate for you, do you trust him? Do you wait? When we begin to realize how weak we are, our dependence on God will grow more and more. We're going to mess up, myself included. Okay, we're all going to drop the ball in our obedience to God. We will all have struggles till the day we die. Thanks, Matt. Good news. But through Jesus, for those who put their trust in Jesus and his work on the cross, he puts on us his righteousness. And because of Jesus, we have an opportunity to not be left in our weakness. We can confess our failures to our loving God, pick up where we have fallen, move forward in the life and the grace that is provided to us because of Jesus. And that is something worth never forgetting. That is the reminder this psalm is driving home. Let's look at the last few verses. Verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David celebrates here at the end God's reign from heaven. God is enthroned in heaven. His throne is established. It will never be moved. His kingdom rules over all. Trendside, we worship this God. This is the God we worship. We worship Jesus who sits on the throne. His kingdom will never end. And that is a promise. Our sufferings here are but for a moment. But in light of eternity, we have the hope. We have this hope. We know the troubles will not last. We know that God wins in the end. An eternal contrast is made here between the ruler and the ruled at the end of the psalm. There is no aspect of this universe, this earth, your life that is not under his reign and rule. David began the psalm telling his own soul, "Bless the Lord." But he knew that the praise and honor of God should go beyond what even he could give. And so David closes the psalm, extending his call to the angels. He boldly tells them also to bless the Lord, praise the Lord. And the angels who make up God's heavenly army under his command are called to give him honor and praise due to him. And David declares the Lord's dominion over all creation, meaning not just the angels, God's heavenly host, but those who are his servants, all creation, you and I, we are to praise the Lord. And so as we read this psalm and we consider how David was so inspired to praise the Lord so passionately, let's consider how we can offer the Lord our worship from our soul as David did here. Jesus actually warns us in Mark in the New Testament, chapter 7. He says that mouthing worship with uninvolved hearts is a vain action. When we truly worship God outside of our regular times, like here, maybe on a Sunday morning with other believers, we normally worship God and praise God because we've been inspired to do so. We may be on our own somewhere and something amazing happens. We're like, wow, praise God. Praise God. That is the real result of praise from our whole being for what God has done. But if we're honest, there are times where we maybe participate in corporate prayer or singing as a congregation simply because just, well, everyone else is doing it. I don't want to be the one out. And that's not right. We may not be truly worshiping because our hearts are not inspired to do so, but we should be. We should be. David here is offering his soul his worship because he is focused on the Lord's goodness towards him. How can we better and more be focused on God's goodness in our worship? Well, right off, I would say we need to prepare for our times of worship. Be it if we're going to spend time in singing or in prayer with God, maybe time in God's word, serving, giving, helping others. If we're going to be honestly inspired to worship God from our souls, our whole being, we need to prepare. So often our minds bring in such baggage into our times of worship. We can be focused on work or to-do lists, school, friendships, and so on. We cannot expect to just walk into a time of worship focused on God when we've not cleared our mind and spend time actually looking at his goodness, remembering his goodness like David does here. And so before you to spend time in prayer or come to God's word or go to a Bible study, take a moment, collect your thoughts, quiet your mind and heart, and be prepared to worship God as you enter that time with him. When you come to a Sunday morning, like we are here this morning, I encourage you to take time, be quiet before the Lord as you come to worship together with the other believers. Look at God's word. Maybe spend a moment praising God for his goodness, reminding yourself of God's goodness. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, it's really good if you have an opportunity to come in and sit down just before the service starts and focus on God. Put away the distractions of this past week. Take time to remember God's goodness. Focus in your praise. Prepare for worship. It helps you to be ready to offer yourselves fully in worship. Now let's recognize the battle for hearts is not over. The minutia of life is always going to try to creep in. There's crying children, cute children, buzzing cell phones, wandering minds, people going to the bathroom and so on that can distract us from focusing on God, focusing in our worship before God. This can happen in our own personal time of worship during the week with God, where our mind can wander. You can sit down for a moment of prayer and find yourself dozing off. We need to focus in our minds and hearts before the Lord. It is important to limit the distractions and focus on God's goodness. We're called to worship our great God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I ask you this morning, do you know God's goodness? Are you praising him from your soul? Don't settle for heartless worship in your life. Offer the Lord your whole heart. Praise God, truly saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. God, we come before you and we thank you for this passage this morning. And we come before you, God, and we take time and we remember your goodness. And this passage reminds us of your goodness, of how you've saved us from our sins. You offer us mercy, grace, your steadfast love. God, we are so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful, God, for what you do in our lives and continue to do. And God, we bless you, God. We praise you, God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise your holy name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come at this time.